Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of One Global Ministries. I am so delighted to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight. I just thank and praise God for who He is. I give Him reverence, who is my life, and to everyone in their respective places, to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to everyone in their respective places. I just thank and praise God for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast. Tonight, we're going to start off with a short devotion. We're going to have a song, a scripture, and a prayer. Amen.
It has to go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. And just like the Abba, some of you may have felt like you go through the shaking, the beating, and the pressing. You went through all of that for your oil to flow. Now your greater is coming. It's been hot thousand for the shaking. I never would have been ready for the making. No. I would have never known how anointed I would be. Oh, yeah. If it had not been for the pressing, I wouldn't be able to walk into my destiny. He's preparing me, preparing me, preparing me.
Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear though the earth be removed, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the stream wherefore shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathens rage. The kingdom were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he have made in the earth. I have just read you from Psalms 46 from the first verse down to the eighth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come humbly before your throne of grace, Father, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, Father, just giving you all praise and glory. If we've offended anyone, Lord, and I ask you to forgive us right now. Search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything in there, Lord, that should not be, we ask you to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you to create in us a clean heart, renewing us the right spirit and a sound mind. Lord, we just thank you today. We praise you today. We magnify your holy name tonight. We just give your name glory, Lord. And we just thank you tonight. Lord, I come right now just surrendering, Lord. I surrender my will on tonight, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to take control, take over this radio broadcast in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you tonight to bind up the strong man. Bind the strong man, Lord. Every evil and negative thing, Lord, every negative word and every negative work, Lord, in the name of Jesus, every evil and wicked thing, every evil and wicked thought, every demonic word, every demonic work, every demon on assignment, your assignment has been canceled in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you tonight to take over this radio broadcast. I ask you now to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach your people on tonight. Lord, I don't know nothing apart from you, in the name of Jesus. So I'm asking you now, Lord, to teach your people on tonight. Whatever it is you want to say to them, Lord, teach them on tonight, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Just teach them, Father. You know what you need for them to know, what you want them to know, and when it's time for them to know it, Lord. I just thank you tonight. I thank you tonight for another opportunity, Lord, to be used. Let me decrease 100% that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God may increase 100%. And I'll be careful to give you all the praise, Lord, all of the glory, all of the honor, in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen. Amen, everybody. I thank and praise God tonight for another opportunity to be back in the study of the Word of God on tonight. God is so good, and His mercy endureth forever. I just a little excited on tonight. I had an unexpected visitor. My brother, my baby brother, came to visit me this evening from out of town, from Illinois, and He just surprised me so much. I had to get myself together. I just thank and praise God that He did. But tonight, we're going to be studying on, let me get my prophetic dictionary here. We're going to be studying on wounded spirit and bruised emotion. Get my dictionary. Because believe me, he's been here for a minute now. So he just left by the grace of God. And happy to see him. Wounded spirit and bruised emotions. Now, you know, when you get wounded, when you are wounded, it's like a sore or a scar or let me just look in here. Let me see what they would call wounded. I would say hurt. When you're wounded, you're hurt. I don't see that in here. But we know what wounded means spiritually. Wounded means hurt or sore or something of that nature. But we're going to be talking about our spirit man being wounded. Proverbs 18 and 14 says, "The spirit of man sustains his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it?" Who can bear a wounded spirit? That's a hard thing. When your spirit man get wounded, spirit man, who can bear that? I don't know who can. It's hard to do that. In Satan's attacks on our body, or on the body of Christ, just not long on our body, but on the body of Christ, one of his greatest targets has been the weaker vessel. The woman. Okay, praise God. Thank you. Wounded, inflict an injury on someone. Thank the Lord for you, sweetheart. The surrogate was seriously wounded, injured, a person feeling injured or hurt. You really wounded his pride when you turn him down. So a lot of times, thank you so much, a lot of times that's what get injured, our pride. But
the enemy try to attack the weaker vessel, that's the woman. Many suffer from hurt so deep within their souls, it is as if their spirits have been wounded and their emotions bruised. Some have spent most of their lives in tormenting bondage to evil spirits of uselessness or worthlessness, which have driven them into like a Jezebel lifestyle. You know, lifestyle. You know, we have so many women out here, and you know, I'm not knocking nobody because we all got, you know, been through doing whatever, you know, in our lives, and but God has brought us from whatever we did when we was young and all that kind of stuff. But I'm saying we probably didn't do it like that, because what I'm talking about is you so low that you will do whatever you have to do to make it with whoever you have to do it with or for. And so a woman, Satan try to attack her in that area. He'll just shut every door, be trying to shut every door. And at that point in time in your life, you don't even know God. You don't even know who Jesus is. And so you don't even be, Lord, have mercy, anything. You just think you got to go through it and fight it all by yourself. But it's a difference when you have Jesus in your life. And when, it's a difference when you're a believer. But when you, and it's bad then, because Satan still try to play on your intelligence and tell you ain't worth nothing. You can't do nothing. You know, you ain't got no power. You need to just let that go. You need to do this, talking to you all wrong, and that'd be the wrong thing. He said he'll say you useless or you worthless, and uselessness and worthlessness pounds away to convince women that they're without value, and therefore their net worth is nothing. Although men also suffer from wounded spirit and abused emotions, here we will concentrate on damaged women, because I'm a woman. I'm a woman, and my emotions have been abused, and my spirit has been wounded. Sometimes that stuff starts from the home. Sometimes it starts from the church. Or you, when you get wounded at home, you run to the church, and you get wounded from church. And then when you're a young woman, you don't have anybody to really tell you just how it is. They think you should know when you don't know. So then when something crazy happens, your spirit may be wounded, and people sitting around looking at you at church like you nasty or something. So it's a lot. With their wounded spirit, there are numerous ways a woman can receive hurt in her life. This is an area where many suffer but attempt concealment, pretending that all is well and all is not well. We can say that good, because I used to play it to the T. I used to play it when I was married, ex-husband, a pastor, bishop, whatever you want to call him. When you in the Baptist church and you the first lady, the people watch you. If you're not looking right and saying amen and whatever, ever, they know something wrong in the house. They know the pastor ain't doing right. They know the bishop ain't doing right. So they used to watch me all the time so I could play it well, because almost every time we went, we fought before we got to church. But I had to go up in there with that on, with a lie on my face, rather. Abused, misused, you know, verbally, because it wasn't no hitting like that, but it was a verbal abuse right before you walk in the house of God. And then when church is over, it's a verbal abuse or whatever. And I'm not even saying that. What I'm talking about is You have to, it's always, oh, everything's okay, putting on that front. And your spirit's so wounded. Your spirit is wounded. You tore up in the inside. That's how the enemy give women. Because who can you trust to talk about it to? Who can you tell in the church? You can't tell nobody. You better not your business be all over the church. But you got to, you know, and a lot of that stuff, it comes from home. The Old Testament word translated spirit is something sometimes The Old Testament word translates spirit is sometimes with the soul. The soul is the location of the mind, will, and emotion. A wounded spirit in the Bible refers to injury, a hurt or pain in the soul, which produces a broken heart. Bruised emotions occur when one become afflicted or grieved, distressed in the body and soul. So when we are wounded in our soul, and that's where the mind is located, I usually tell you all the spirit have a mind. That's what I always say, the spirit have a mind, will, and emotion. But a wounded spirit in the Bible refers to an injury, a hurt, or a pain in the soul, which produces a broken heart. And I know I've had a broken heart. I seen a lady one day, and I know she had to be a prophet. She said, "Your heart broken." I'm like, "No, it's not." "Yes, it is." I said, "No, it's not." You know, I'm thinking about love or, you know, a husband, wise love or something like that, and my heart broke because of my husband. That ain't what she was talking about. She was talking about this. When you have a wounded spirit, and believe me, we can be wounded from people, church folk, church hurt, just plain old folk. Your folk can hurt you. Your family can hurt you. Believe me, heaviness in the heart of man make it is sad, but a good word make it glad. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Sorrow and depression strikes into the heart or soul, bringing grief and mourning. This can cause one to give in to depression. That's how depression comes. Grief and mourning, because, you know, depression is a silent, believe me, just like a blood pressure or a heart attack or something. Depression, I mean, you don't say much. You don't want to be around. You get withdrawn, and you don't want to be around people. You don't want to talk on the phone. You don't want to do nothing. You want to sleep all day. Nothing's hurting you, but you just grieve and you mourn. You know, and when you should be talking and laughing and having some peace and joy, you're in mourning and you're grieving. That's where depression sets in. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but a sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Proverbs 15 and 13. Some of the saddest people on the earth today are born again, spirit filled, tongue talking Christians. These are believers who should have the joy of the Lord within their hearts. However, demons have set up barriers around their spirits. They lair in hindering the joy of the Lord, while sorrow inflicts painful wounds and the heart breaking the spirit, and afflict sadness, and the afflicted saddened soul will break one down, and many believers cannot walk uprightly because of the heavy load that they carry. And we, you know, it's just what it says. The devil will sit you up just like that. That's why I was telling y'all, I think it's been maybe a month ago, about this spirit of offense. And I had to kind of pray my way through it, because the spirit of offense is when you're thinking people saying things about you when they're not. That's a spirit of offense. You know, you're speculating, and you're thinking, I ain't heard from her because she doing this, she doing that. Or, you know, even if you heard from somebody, it's always something to make you speculate and think evil. See, I'm trying to train my mind today. I've been trying to train my mind not to think no evil, even though it's evil. But we have to stop thinking negative thoughts. We have to stop thinking negative thoughts, period. You know, on things, we know how to do things. We know it's Satan, that the enemy is around. But I'm talking about against the other believer. You know, we got to stop. And I've been training my mind every time, all day long. If I find myself thinking, well, see, I remember what, and I cast that thing down, I cast it down. The devil is a lie. You go back to the pits of hell. And the only way you can stop this spirit of offense is to pray for the people. Pray for them, love them, do what you can for them, and go on. But it's a spirit of offense out right now. And that's part of this hindering. It makes Christians or believers miserable, sad, depressed. We can't let this happen. We can't let it happen. We got to be up on the game, because the enemy, he hidden below the belt. Now he's trying anything he can. I mean, it's a difference when you're saying, I need somebody to agree with me in prayer for Sister Sonia because, you know, I believe this or I believe that, so we're going to pray for it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what you forming in your mind, what you allowing the enemy to form in your mind, because we can do it. And believe me, my hand up so high, because I was the first one, and I always put it to me first. Because I used to be like that. I'm telling you, I went all the way home to Illinois and St. Louis about 3-4 months ago, seeing the little baby in my bra. She was in my great-grandbaby in my suitcase, and she come out with my bra on. And I started accusing everybody, because concerning the bra I thought the baby had was here at the house. I didn't even bring it with me. I'm going to tell you that's how cunning the devil is. I never did bring it. And I done told my daughter, granddaughter, all of them that they had the bride. Got home, the bride that I thought she had was in the drawer, and the other bride had it on. I just didn't see how that happened. But the devil always try to make us look stupid. He's the accuser of the brethren, and he picks on the women, the weaker vessel, the most of all, most of all. So that's why we have to be so careful. When I tell you we do, we do. We have to, before we say anything or do anything, we should examine. We should just examine ourselves. And I just started. I'm too old to let that stuff happen. I'm too old, I'm just telling you. I've experienced so many things. I got to learn from my mistakes. I got to learn from my experiences. I got to learn so I can explain it to you and let you see what I'm talking about, so you won't make the same mistakes I'm making, I have made. Mm-hmm. It made me look so silly. I had to go back and ask God to forgive me, go back to my daughter and her husband, ask them to forgive me, I had to go to my granddaughter. Just I said, Lord, this was back in, when it was warm last year. It was something else. I just thought, how can I do that? And then people have taken so much from me out of my house and stuff, I started, before then, I was accusing people. Until my husband, he came to me, he said, you got to stop. I said, stop what? He said, you just got to stop. You can't do it no more. Don't say nobody else took nothing from you. Not one more thing. He said, I don't want to hear it. So he said, you need to just go repent now. And I did. I went and repented, and I didn't accuse nobody. If they took it, I didn't say nothing. Because the trick in it for us is the spirit of offense. And to start accusing them, even if they took it, you pray for them. And if, you know, you could go to them and ask them, did they take it? But they ain't going to tell you nowhere if they really took it. But you can't accuse people. And that's that spirit of offense. I'm, you know, looking at you and or figuring you looking at me and all that kind of stuff. That's not God. That's a wounded spirit, a bruised emotion. Now, I could have injured her accusing them like that. And it is up. She have a broken heart or something like that. You know, you when you call and just a believer, you got to trust God. You got to listen to God. That be my problem because I love people so much. If I'd have listened to one of my armor bearers or whatever, she told me, don't do that. And if I was you, apostle, I wouldn't do that. I did it anyway. I let people come, stay, this, that, and that. She had already told me I wouldn't do it, apostle. I did anyway because I love people. But when you do that, you got to face the consequence. You got to listen to what God is saying. When you get so big, oh, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to help them. I'm going to do this. You have good intentions. But it don't always go like that. It don't always go like that. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drives bones. If a man falsely demonstrates any attributes in that direction, she may respond, giving in and genuinely loving him. Unfortunately, a demonized man may have motives, and only when it is too late, she will discover that he has deceived her. She then suffers a broken heart, and into her soul rush spirit of shattered hopes, wounded and bruised emotions. Believe me, when you a broken hearted spirit entered, telling her what a fool she was to fall in love. We've all experienced it. We all have done it. Some of us still doing it. But we have to learn from our mistakes because we do not want our spirit wounded. And we don't want these bruised emotions, but that's what happens when we have to let God send the right man. We have to let God send the right man. He has to send. Let him do it. Don't you go looking for nobody. Don't you go trying to attract nobody. None of that. Let God send the man, because when he send the man, I don't care what you looking like or whatever, he going to love you for who you are. You ain't got to wear no eyelashes. You ain't got to wear this. You ain't got to wear it. And we know we all wear it, but you don't have to with the right man. Understand what I'm saying? You don't have to wear some skin tight pants with the right man. You understand what I'm saying? You have to wait for God to send you the right mate. And then
the
you won't
say
get the
amen.
Right. You won't get that broken heart. You won't, because I'm telling you, I know how it is. I've been right there. And I'm still, you know what, when it comes to the man, you want the man that God, because when you get the God for him, man, he's going to be just, he's going to be your covering. He's going to protect you. He's going to provide for you. You won't have to worry, because the word say the man works. The woman stay at home. But this day and age, the woman works too. But she don't have to. She's not supposed to have to. But we know we're the helpmate, so we try to help them. But when God send the right man, you won't have to worry about not one bill. Not one bill. You want it'll take all of that stress that we the weaker vessel. It'll take all of that when you got the right man. The God-given man. But when you don't, you end up with a broken heart. And I'm telling you, last year I had two or three prophets to tell me my heart was broken. Who said, what? I said, my heart ain't broken. Yes, it is. And it was past stuff in the past. Believe me, not it's past stuff that I hadn't even let go. This is what I'm trying to tell you. You have to be careful with that because you be still holding stuff. And I don't want it. And so in my prayers, I ask God to take control over my mind. I ask the Holy Spirit, control my mind. Don't let them negative thoughts come in my mind. Oh, I know who. Yeah, I know about her. Stay away from her. No, you pray for her. Pray for her. You ain't got to run up, you know, be with her and run with her and all that, but you pray that God change her to how she's supposed to be. Because I'm telling you, get a broken heart, that thing will take you through so many things, so many low, broken moments in your life. I'm telling you, I've been there so many times. And you get one of these men, and they already got somebody else, and they're playing you, you know, just, can't do that. Then you have, after you do that, you got the guilt and the shame and the condemnation assuring her how she is, for certainly no one could ever love her like that. The desire of the woman is to be loved by a man is God-given. And then the enemy will send these little demonized men to try to do this. But God made man and woman for man to love woman and for woman to want to be loved by man. That God did this. Because he put Adam to sleep and got Eve. So it's like, it's nothing out of the ordinary, people. Well, I ain't falling in love, honey, and all that stuff. No, you're supposed to, because that's how God made us. Made man to love us and to protect us and to provide for us, to cover us, and for woman to want him to do this. But when you get these demonized men, they come, want to play and lay, and then get up, and you see them down on the next block, on the next mile with somebody else, then your heart is broken. You don't want to act like you know, you're ashamed. You're feeling condemned for doing it. You know, we all make mistakes. But I'm telling you, some good men out here. It's some good men out here. Believe me. It's some good men. I'm telling you. God got them. And he got them for each one of y'all. I'm telling you. I'm good. Look, I'm good where I am. Then, even future, can't say sentence, pure relationships with men and with a godly husband would be marred and tainted by the evil spirit who came into her during the attack. Because when these kind of things happen, it leaves spirits. You pick up spirits from that kind of stuff. And I ain't talking about nothing scary. I'm talking about this spirit where, you know, you done been through this horrible abused emotions, and you can't really go on with a new relationship until you heal from this one right here. So this thing can go on, because this new man that God has sent, he won't have a chance, because you be looking up outside his head. Because I'm telling you, I sure did that with Apostle. He come out of, Lord, say for you to quit your job. I said, let me tell you something. Don't come here talking about quit my job, because I ain't finna quit nothing for no man. I'm taking my own self. He didn't say another word. Then he came back. He's talking about the Sabbath day. I said, look, I done graduated from Bible college. I said, I ain't never heard of nothing like that. He was like, wow. He didn't want to tell me nothing else. But he came back again about 2 or 3 months later. No, he said, not quit my job, quit school, because I was in nursing school. I was a CNA. He said, the Lord said for you to quit school. I said, I ain't got but about 3 classes in my clinicals, and I'll be a LPN. I said, no, I'm not doing that. He came back 3 or 4 months later. He said, God told me again to tell you to quit school. I said, why would God want me to quit school? And I'm trying to work to get somewhere. He said, because God said he was going to allow you to make more money than an LPN, than a CNA. And one morning, I just decided to do it. I guess maybe 2 or 3 weeks later. And when I tell you, God bless me. God bless me so much. When I tell you, the first year I made $78,000. The next year I think I made 80-some thousand. And the next year she died, and I still made $54,000 from this same lady. After she had died, I made that money. And I'm telling you, God is not short and slack on his word. We just have to be obedient. We have to let that discernment know what, when, and how to do, and when to allow things to happen. And I have never been sorry for not going on getting my LPN. I want to go back to school now, but I'm not. Because I'm good, just like this, because I'm getting too old for all that stuff. I'm getting older. I ain't going to say too old, but older. Okay, and then you have a memory or a recall and sexual flashbacks. And that would bring back the thought, and the doorkeeper of rape keeps the door open for future attacks. And this is not no rape thing. I'm just talking about how when you get a man like that, it'd be a demon anyway. They be little demons, believe me. The enemy be using them to upset you and to tear you down and to break you down. That's what he used them for. But we got to learn. We got to use our discernment. God, all y'all prophets, y'all know, Lord, show me this man. For he hurt me, for he break my heart, Lord, show him to me. You know, just show him. If you meet him, ask God to give you discernment over this man. Pray for him, Lord, is this the right man? Because believe me, just like I told you, when demons get into people, you know they get into people. Ain't nowhere in the world you think you're going there in broad daylight and rob no bank, and the camera's all on you. You ain't even got a face mask on, nothing. But the demon tell me you can do it. You can get away with it. Go and try it. You can get away with it. I'm telling you, you can do it. And here you go in there, rob the bank, and here you spending 40 years in jail for a bank robber. And then the demon leaves. After you get behind them boys, you say, I ain't staying here. I gotta go. So when they use these men to come up on the believers, you waiting for a husband to come. And you thinking this is him. But we have to have a deeper relationship with God so you will know this is him. This him. This him, because believe me, I asked him about Ed. I asked his sister about him. She said, girl, he's an evil so-and-so, so-and-so. I say he's evil. She said, he mean as heck. Don't nobody fool with him. I was like, oh, no, I think this must not be my husband. And I wasn't studying for a long time until my prophet at home, Prophet Sarai, called me. I was at the Goodwill one day. She called me. She said, put your buggy up. I said, something wrong? She said, I need to talk to you. Put your buggy to the side. Go to your car. And when I went out there, she said, that is your husband. She said, that's your husband. And he's coming to get you. And God told her to. I was like, what? She said, that is your husband. So that's why. That's not why, but she helped. So I thank and praise God for that. But we are the weaker vessels. Our spirit be so abused. Our spirits be so wounded. Our emotions, that we cry and cry and cry and cry. And a lot of times, most of the women don't have nobody to talk to. They shame of what they're going through or what they done been through. They shame. And they need to be able to talk to somebody. And they need to be able to let that stuff off. They need that. We need that. We need it. Believe me, I done had my share. I had to have somebody. I used to talk to my mama. I used to talk to my mother. I had my share. But, and I know a lot of times, even when I was dating and stuff, and having sex and all that kind of stuff, dating out, and it wasn't the right man, and when y'all break up, you think about him forever. It takes you 2 years to get over one man. I was saying, Lord, what is it? I knew it was a connection because when I went to bed with him, it was just like I was married to him, and our spirits intertwined, so it took forever to get over him. But when I caught that, when I got that stuck in my head, I didn't jump in the bed with him so quick because you don't never. It takes you so long to get over with. Then they around here messing with Sally, Jane, and Francis, everybody. When they don't have to do that. So, you know, it's something. And that's not the only way to get have your spirit wounded. I mean, like I said, church folks can wound you. Church hurt is the worst hurt. When I tell you it's the worst hurt. But this is a hurt right here, too. I'm telling you, with a man. And another doorway which wounds women is the area of ancestral relationship. Initiators as well as victims of incest, you know what I'm saying, where, and they need massive deliverance, like when your cousin maybe rape you when you young or something like that, your brother, something like that. That's not good. Or your mama think your daddy's cousin can watch you while they go out or something like that. That's another doorway for wounded spirits and bruised emotions. Genesis 19 tells of Lot and the incest which produced Moab, Ammon, and a long-lasting family curse, because when that stuff happens, it causes a curse on the family. That's ways to bring curses on your family, that incest. A woman's entire life can be hampered severely by incest, especially if the father is involved. She will be unable to trust men, and maybe thereafter extremely susceptible to control, manipulation, domination by others. Normally in an incest relationship, the victim is forced to keep quiet. And this, they submit themselves to control and manipulation. You know, because they tell you to better not tell nobody. And it's control and manipulation by whoever the person is. If it's her father, and he takes advantage of her, the trust and security a daughter must have in him is stripped away, and she will be unable to trust another man. Some little girls, some I done heard, it's a few of them I done heard, you know, women today, they grown now, and they testify about it. A lot of them not ashamed of it. And, I mean, not that ain't nothing you can do about it. It's been happening. You're grown and older. But that's something you go through. Even when you, it's not your dad. It could be a cousin or, you know, like that, a close friend of the family, something like that. That stuff right there. And when you're a kid, your emotions be so tore up and abused. And then you trying to find a godly man or let a godly man find you, looking at every man like, you better not touch me. You better not say nothing. And you can't get on with your life. It can even make it difficult for her to come to and submit to the Lord, because he too is a man. Certainly the proper relationship of the father to his daughter can be maintained without incest being involved. The Hebrew word for father means nourisher and protector. Proper relationship between father and daughter is described in Numbers chapter 30. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord and bind herself by a bond being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow and her bonds wherewith she has bound in her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all of her vow shall stand, and every bond wherewith she has bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth it, not any of her vows nor of her bonds wherewith she has bound in her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. Disallowing the vow of the daughter who is in the home means to hinder or restrain her, to turn away the vow she made. See, a father, and we all, that's why we can look at our bishops, our apostles as dads or fathers, whatever you want to call them. But when this happens, then the young lady, you know, the dad did try to do something to her or something like that, but they can't do that. They have to hold it, that they got to keep themselves. Because a lot of men just can't keep it like that. But, you know, that's why you have to have God in your life at an early age, and the daddy has to be up under the covering of God. You know, he has to have God to be his covering, Jesus Christ to be his covering, and lead him and guide him in the way to go. I'm telling you, that can be a hurtful thing, and that's how a lot of times our emotions is bruised, because we go through so much as women from a child on up. Okay, these are typical of a foolish vow that girls make in their homes, and if their dads hear it, he must disallow it. Okay, this is something, too, that Apostle Ed was telling me about. He was telling me to not make, I remember this now, he was telling me, because there's some stuff I didn't say. Let me read this. Disallowing the vows of the daughter who is in the home means to hinder, restrain, or to turn away the vow she made. Like, I will never bring children into this world. I will never fall in love. I will never let a man see my true emotions. I will always hate men. My dad hated me. I promise that all of my children are going to be thus and thus. When I become an adult, I am going to do this and that. I swear it. That's what the dad, when a man hears this kind of stuff in the house, he is supposed to stop the child or whoever saying it like that and let them know that they can't make a vow like that. He was telling me that, and I didn't understand it, but now I do, just from reading my Bible and listening to him on this vow stuff, because we make those kind of vows. I can remember saying stuff like that when I was a girl. Oh, he makes me sick. I hate him. I can't stand him. When I was in grade school and stuff like that, but you can't do that. And when and Ed was telling me, because he's my covering, he would have to repent. I repent, and he also had to repent for stuff like that. And he do stuff, you know, like that. And so I did whatever it was. I forgot what it was. And he had to repent, too. He can't allow that to go on. He has to tell me what's right and stuff like that, just as if, you know, he's my covering. I ain't going to say my dad, but he's my covering. And so God, he's responsible. He's responsible. A man is responsible for his wife. He's responsible for the things that we do and say. So that's what I'm saying. A godly husband, a lot of stuff, that's why I told him, Pastor, he needs to be teaching. Because men don't know that these days. They don't know that. They think you're supposed to work and help them. But you're not. You're not. And, you know, a lot of us want our own money because we don't want them saying, hey, you can't get none of this week and stuff like that. If you have your own money, you can work in the money you give him, just to be a blessing for the bills and stuff. But you're not supposed to have to do that. That's what the word of God said. The man is the provider, not the woman. The man is. And so that's why a lot of our homes are out of order today, because the order is not right. Everything is done decently and in order. That's what the word of God, decently and in order. So I'm not... I just thank and praise God for it, because it woke me up on a few things. And then Apostle said stuff, and I don't be thinking about none. He'll just come out the blue and say it, because I remember him saying this to me, and I'm sitting up there looking at him like, what made him say that? You know, but now that I'm reading in my Bible, Numbers chapter 30 in verses 3 through 5, now I understand what he was talking about. So, but I'm not going to hold you. I'm so glad that you all joined us tonight. We're going to be talking about this for a couple of days, a couple of Fridays, wounded spirit and bruised emotions, because we as women need to talk. Believe me, I need to talk mine out. If it was me, I would talk it out, and I have talked it out. But you have to talk to somebody private in you know that you can't, they won't say a word, because you can't tell it to anybody. You can't say it, because I remember the time I did tell a person something very private, and I just got the worst feeling, so I called Prophet Sherrod. She said she's talking about you from some stuff you told her. And I sat back and I thought, you're right. So now you can't tell women everything. You can't tell them. You have to ask God, who can you talk to? So, you know, because sometimes we just need to talk. We need to cry. We need to vent. We need to do that. Holler sometimes. Go eat. You know, whatever it is, you need to get some of that stuff off of you. So anyway, I just thank, praise God for everyone that came on tonight on our radio broadcast. Those of you in radio land, I'm not going to hold you any longer. I'm going to get ready to close out. Father, we just thank you for the teaching. We thank you tonight for healing our spirits, Lord, our emotions, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for working on us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I just give you praise. I give you glory tonight, Father. I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone in radio land, bless them, their children, grandchildren, and great-grand. Cover each one of them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now I ask you today, Father, to protect us and guide us and lead us. All these things I ask in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen and amen. Now on Sunday we're going to have a guest speaker, prophet from Nigeria that was on our radio broadcast once before, my spiritual son. He's going to preach for us on Sunday. So he was supposed to be on Thursday night, but some things happened. So Sunday he'll be on to preach for us. We're going to go through our services, but he'll be on Sunday to preach for us. So I will see you all back then. You all have a good Sabbath, and God bless you. I love you, and God love you too. Amen. Good night.
Amen.